Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mrs. Mabel Lum Louie. On October 18, 1979, in Inglewood, by Sue Ellen Chen. Mrs. Lou, may I ask where are your parents from?
Oh, my parents were both born in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So your grandparents from
I only
China.
Know of my grandparents on my father's side.
I see.
My other grandmother, I haven't seen. I heard about her, but I have not seen her. Maybe she have died or vanished before I was born.
Your grandparents from Canton?
Yes, my father's parents came from Canton, China.
Which district do you know?
What?
Which district?
I think it's Sunwei.
Sunwei, okay.
Sunwei province, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sunwei province, and he's Cantonese.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. And so your parents were born here probably around what time?
My parents were born here about 18 something. Don't recall the exact date, but it's in the 18-something, my parents. Mm-hmm. My mother died when she was 44 years old, mm-hmm. very young.
Mm-hmm. What was your father's occupation?
My father's occupation, he was an editor, reporter, a translator, and he did a lot of things for the community, good things, yeah.
And what's your mother's occupation? Did she work?
No, my mother didn't have to work a day because my father was a very good provider. He gave her his whole paycheck and gave him back an allowance for the month. How many people in those days do that? No, old-fashioned people, they don't do that.
Oh, you mean old-fashioned people, the husband kept the money?
Yeah, the husband kept the money.
And what the wife do?
The wife just begged for money when she needs it, old-fashioned.
This is typical Chinese family?
Yes, typical Chinese family. And the wife is the boss's American family. See, my father and mother were so Americanized. And they lived their life like an American couple. Mm-hmm. And my father gave her everything she needed. So she was dressed up like a millionaire's wife. She liked beautiful clothes and jewelry and all that. She bedecked her with clothes, nice things when she go out. And everybody thought my father was a millionaire. He was not a millionaire.
So when were you born?
Well, I was born in 19 something. Mm-hmm. Not the exact day, 19 something.
And where were you born?
I was born in on Washington Street. I don't see the house anymore, but on that area near Benham Place.
San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco.
And you spoke Chinese or English when you were little?
My parents spoke, my father spoke English all the time, and my mother spoke Chinese, and I went to Chinese school after the American school. That's how I learned both, to talk both languages. But to write, I can't write many Chinese characters.
Where do you learn Chinese?
In a Episcopalian church, you know, Episcopalian church, Chinese teacher from China taught us, mm-hmm. in this private school.
How many years were you in Chinese?
I took up Chinese 5 or 6 years.
Mm. A lot of Chinese friends?
About 30 of them in the school.
So you spoke English or Chinese with your sisters and brothers?
Yes, we spoke both language, whatever we come in handy.
Yeah.
I got 7 sister and brother.
Oh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 7 of us. 4 girls and 2 boys.
Your mother probably...
My mother was very, very busy. She couldn't go out to work with all the children.
were you the oldest or youngest?
I was the eldest one.
Oh.
My mother was 17 years old and I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And she was married very early at 14. But I wasn't born until a few years later. She was so young, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, have you lived? Now? How many places have you lived?
Oh, you mean when I grown up?
Mm-hmm.
When I grew
years.
Up, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was married when I was a teenager. When I was about 16 years old, I was married to a man in Texas. I went to Texas to live with him,
mm-hmm.
San Antonio, Texas. I lived there for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And married to him for 20 years.
And then you come to Los Angeles?
I traveled back and forth, but I came back the last time I came back because to live permanently. You know what I mean permanently until now.
Uh-huh.
1939, I lived here.
Do you always live in this house or you live somewhere else in LA?
I lived in 5 houses already. This is the 5th house, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you remember all the locations?
Yes. We lived in Culver City the most.
Mm-hmm.
Culver City, Mar Vista, and then Inglewood.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So that's after you married?
Yeah, after I married my husband. See this? Shall I? Are you going?
How did you meet your husband, Mr. Louis?
I met him when I got lost in Beverly Hills trying to locate a school for voice, a voice school in Beverly Hills. And I left the address at home when I saw the ad and I wanted to go to the school for audition and see if they want to take me. That's how I met my husband, because his boss met me in the market when I was trying to phone, and he said, "Lady, can I help you?" I said, "Are you in trouble?" He asked me, and I said, I just got lost. I don't know where I am." And he said, "I have the ad and I'll walk you home. It's only a block from my house." So I followed him and went home with him. And he called up his sister, who was a big player, and said, "Peggy, I got a beautiful Chinese girl out here. Come out and meet her." And he said, "Hello." And she said hello to me and told me to come in. So I went in. And I was afraid to go to any strange house, you know.
American.
American. And so later on we sat down and talked, and then he told me his cook, you know, had a day off today. Otherwise you would have met him. And he is a fine cook. Oh, such a good man and all that. And he tried to, she tried to get me interested in him. And I was interested in the music, and I didn't care, and I didn't hear a word of it. so so later on he gave me his phone number and asked me for my phone number to give to him. That's how we conversed over the phone and get acquainted. And I did not want to see him, but he said, he can get me jobs if I'm not satisfied with my job. He knows a lot of good jobs that he can offer me. I told him that my job is very good. I like the job I'm working. But my friends wanted to find a job. They are refugees from China during the war. And they want a job like mine. So she said, well, I have to meet your friends and see how they look like before I can offer them a job. And so that's how he came out to see me, and then he came out to see those friends.
What did you do? What kind of job?
Housekeeper, domestic work.
Mm-hmm. For Chinese or American?
For American. I was fortunate because I worked in a Christian Scientist home, and they don't believe to work 7 days a week. I work only 5 days. They let me work 5 days a week and Saturday and Sunday off. And they were very nice to me, and I was their housekeeper, their cook, and their answering service, because they have their real estate office in their home.
I see. So how many years were you doing that job?
I did not do it very long. I worked there for almost a year, and then I met my husband. And in the meantime, my husband was doing this for a long time. He's from China, you know. But I could get a store job and do other kind of work, but I needed a house to live. By being a domestic, then I get free room and board, plus my salary. So everything was clear, and I like that. The job may be hard for other people, but I don't feel as hard as you. I pretend that was my own home.
Did you get good pay?
Oh, in those days, I think I get, I don't know. In those days, $40 a month was a lot of money to me. Even you work in other places, they pay you around $40 a month, or 50 at most. But you have to have room and board. You know, when you are married, you have to have a place to live. Let's put it that way.
So after you marry, Mr. Liu still cook for the family, and you live with the family, or you?
No, I tell you how. When he met me, he said, I work too hard. And I didn't think so. He said, he and I should team up. In case I should get sick, then he should take my place, and they won't fire me because I couldn't perform. You understand? So I said, that is a good idea. So I teamed up with him, and he was the cook, and I was the maid in a family. And we did live together for over a year in another household, not the same one, another household who needed a couple. We worked for the movie star family, and I was a nursemaid, or a baby sitter, whatever you call it. But I did more than babysitting, you know. I got to do her personal laundry and cook for her. She got upset stomach, you know. Her stomach wasn't working, and she had to go to the doctor all the time. She was 4 years old. Brenda Marshall and William Holden's home. They would work there for almost a year together.
And after that year, did you continue the
No, we worked for another.
Job?
No, we both worked for another job as a team. You know, we teamed together, and worked for another place. A very wealthy financier who had two children, big children, and they had a two-story home, and they entertained all the time. That was the hardest work I ever did in my life.
How many years were you there?
Almost a year, not quite a year.
And after that?
After that, we came together and found a business of our own. we were in business.
And what kind?
A restaurant business, a cafe, a chop suey place. We bought the Japanese place out.
In Beverly Hills?
Yeah, no, in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And downtown?
On Western and Vernon. Oh. I don't know what part of town you call that, but it's a chop suey place owned by the Japanese, but the Japanese were rounded up in a concentration camp. And that's how every one of them had business, wanted to sell, and a lot of pay was in the ad, you know. A lot of restaurant food stands and cafe were for sale and cheap. So we went to look around and we found this place with a living quarter, and we like it. So if we didn't do any business, we still got a place to live. We didn't have to rent. We didn't have to rent an apartment.
Is business good?
Oh, business was terrific.
Who are the patrons?
Americans.
Americans.
It's an American neighborhood, not in Chinatown. If that is what you mean. And my husband is American, cooked all his life, and he didn't know anything about Chinese cooking. But the Japanese man was a cook, and he's the owner. He taught him. He taught him to cook chop suey and fry shrimp and roast pork and all that kind of the whole menu, whatever they had on the menu.
So only cook chop suey and no American food.
No American food. Chop suey, chow mein, cha siu, and all, and all kinds of noodles, you know, pork noodle.
And a price?
Egg foo young, yeah. The price, very cheap. Go according to the menu. Whatever they charge, we charge the same thing, the same portion. And they have a waitress who is a Japanese man. He's a college graduate. And he graduated from college. Why does he want to be a waiter? And then he asked him, you know, and he said, I got good tips, so I can, he can do that, I can do the same thing. I learned how to be very courteous to my customer, and I got good tips too when I worked there.
So you make pretty good.
Uh-huh. I consider that's better than working for people. That's good, better for us. Better, when you work for people, you only get a set salary. When you're in business, you can do more one day or less another day.
You open 7 days or 6 days?
6 days a week and one day off. I think Monday was a day off. And people just line up. And we used to have 12 booths, a small restaurant there, 12 booths. And later on we add three more for take food out to go. People sit there to take food out. And 4 or 10 people sit in one booth. Some of the booths are big, you know, sit about 10 people.
And you could make more money than you working for other people.
Much more. So that was during the war time, and the people got money during the war years and Second World War. And the people work in a defense plant. They're too tired to cook at home. They want to go out to eat. Some of them go out to eat 2-3 times a week.
You open early every day?
No, we open at 4 o'clock and close at 2 at night.
Oh, you don't serve lunch?
That's including lunch. Oh, no, not the lunch. This is a
dinner.
A Chinese meal. And they used to call it the Sun Cafe, with the sun, rising sun of Japan on the windows. And we didn't do too well then. We didn't know about it. And one of the customers said, if we want to improve our business, we got to change the sign to Chinese name. So my husband spent some money and changed the sign to Fong Chap Sui. That's his name. Yeah, Lu Fong.
And you live
in the back.
In the back.
They have a living quarter. They had a two-bedroom in the back there. The Japanese people built it. It was plywood. And Japanese bathtub, you know,
So you like spend most of the day preparing the food before you open this shop?
My husband was the cook. I was the waitress. I took care of the dining room all by myself. I clean the booths and set the table, and my husband takes care of the kitchen. It's a small place. All we need is a dishwasher, part-time dishwasher.
You hire Chinese or what?
I hired American.
American
boy, a school boy to do the dishes at night.
So how many years were you in that restaurant business?
Oh, because the war was on, and he got a new classification, A1, and he's going to go to war pretty soon. So he didn't want to go to war. He want to get a deferment. In the paper it said fight or produce. So he rather produce. Produce means that he go to work for defense plan. So he rather do that. So we close our cafe up every day except Saturday and Sunday. Those are the 2 days we did the most business. And we, you know, operated that restaurant that way until they want him to work on Saturday. That's too much. So he got sick when he got to work all day, no rest, on Saturday, and come back to the restaurant and cook and work till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So the reason why is for, we close at 2, but we got to clean up the place. It took us 2 hours to clean up. And he's very particular and clean, you know, because he used to be a domestic cook. He couldn't stand in dirty dishes standing around all night long. So he wanted to clean up the kitchen, and then I got to clean up the booths. So next day when we open, it's all clean.
And so after war, you still continue your restaurant business?
No, we rent. So he went to fight for defense plan. No, I don't mean that fight. He went to work for the defense plan and be a riveter, put rivets in the bombardier door for them to bomb Japan, you know, or whatever nation they were fighting with, Axis nation, I think, Japan or German. And so when they were overproduced, they let out some men, and my husband said it's time for him to quit too. So he quit them, and then we were out of the cafe. So we rented our cafe, you know, when he was, when we closed up the cafe. So he rented to an older man, leased it to an older man for
Chinese.
A year, yeah, Chinese, and he didn't have to go to war. He's older, you know. But his waiter got to go to war. His waiters were young. But so we rented to some other man, and so many people occupy our restaurant from one owner to another. So rented to them all furnished. They didn't have to buy it. They were furnished for so much a month. And we guaranteed the master lease. And we had that restaurant for over 20 years. Master lease on it, and we pay the rent, the original rent, and then whatever rent we got from the tenants is gravy to us.
What did you do then?
And then we look around before we look around, I tell you. And I got looked for a job, and I landed a job as a cashier and a sales lady. In a friend's liquor store, and he hired me part time. So later on, we both looked around in Culver City and found another restaurant. And this restaurant is an American restaurant, not Chinese. And that's up. My husband like it because he is an experienced American cook. So this restaurant was a going restaurant, but they were losing money every month. So this lady, husband was drafted in the service, and he couldn't run it herself very well. She hired a cook. The cook was a manager for her. And so she was in the red all the time. She wanted to sell it. So we bought it from her, from the agency, you know, told us that.
How much approximately you paid for that?
Around $4,500.
Oh.
Huh? That was cheap for that kind of business.
How about the first one?
The first one was only $1,000.
How much you made every month?
Well, I don't remember how much I made, but I remember how much I deposited in the bank. I deposited every week $100 net, $100 for our account.
Did you buy all the foods from Chinatown?
Yeah.
So you have to go to Chinatown?
Yes, my husband got to travel once a week to Chinatown and buy the groceries and the bean sprout and shrimp and all that. And pork, you know, a big leg of pork. And he cut it and barbecued it. We got a barbecue, a Japanese barbecued stove there.
Did you go with him to Chinatown?
Sometimes I did, sometimes I don't.
Did you do any other business other than restaurant?
Not that I know of. Then this American restaurant was doing good business. We did more because we have 7 girls work there.
All Americans?
All American girls. And some of them were not very good.
And you had that restaurant course? How many years?
For 25 years.
Until you?
Until we retired.
Oh.
We retired 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Were you in any of the movie business?
When I was working in a liquor store, a man left a phone number in the cash drawer because I went to lunch. For me to call that number up. They wanted extra woman for a play, a pageant. And I wanted to take part in it. My boss said, if you want to go, I'll close up the door 2 days so I could show for you. Isn't that wonderful?
Nice.
A Chinese man, he's not married. So I said, well, that's so nice of you to do that. So you don't have to, but I want to see Madam Chiang Kai-shek too. Madam Chiang Kai-shek came to this country to make a long speech in Hollywood Bowl. So I took part in the pageant and I called up that number. They said, you're supposed to get so much money for that day's work. But
how much?
I think it was $15 something in those days. Yeah. But I said, but you're not going to get it. We're going to use some money then donate it to the Chinese relief. I said, fine, I don't care. I said, you can take all my day's work and give it to the relief. So I went there one day for rehearsal, another day to be in the play. And I was in the play, and that was a professional play. And every one of the actresses got money, or actors, I don't know. There were thousands of people on the stage there.
It's put out by Chinese?
Yeah, put out by the Chinese guild, I think. The Screen Extra Guild.
Oh.